Hey. My name's Laura and I'm an addict. And I came out here to have a good goddamn time. And I plan to do just that. Plan to keep my clothes on while I'm doing it. And forewarned is forearmed. I work in an auto body shop. What I hear all day long is something to the effect of clang, 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 clang. Fuck! Son of a bitch. You work with that 8 hours a day, you are not going to be Mother Teresa in front of the microphone. It is not going to happen, okay? So you are forewarned. Also be forewarned that if you have no tolerance for the G word, you better get up and leave now. Because all praise goes to God. Right? Because like Narcotics Anonymous is this gift that he gave, right, to those of us who are special. Because we're special people. These spiritual principles are like, they're universal for everybody in the entire world. But we needed a little bit of help. Generally, before I get up and share, I try to just like, basically what I say is, you know what, God, you put them in the seat and I'll try and bring them to you. That's the best I can do because I understand that to have the disease of addiction is to be enslaved. And I'm all about trying to set some slaves free. Right? And it isn't going to be some counselor, and it isn't going to be some minister, and it isn't going to be some jailer or some judge that's going to set us free. It's going to be one of us, another addict. The therapeutic value comes into play when we do this. You don't have to stand up here behind this microphone to do it either. Sometimes all you got to do is answer your phone. Sometimes all you got to do is raise your hand. Sometimes all you got to do is say, you know what, with your clean time, man, it doesn't matter if you get a fucking message at the meeting tonight. It's not about you. Why don't you go and give a message to somebody who needs it? Right? I'm a little bit old school about some of this stuff. But I'm a little bit new school too because, like, check it out. We didn't have any of the literature that we have today when I got here. On August 4th of 1982, we had the little white book. When people blow me shit about I don't need that step working guide because it wasn't here when I got here, well, guess what? The basic text wasn't here when I got here. But I use it. The how and why wasn't here when I got here. I use that just for today and the step working guide too. Because I'll tell you what's happened, like, in my process, right? In my process, this literature has been developed. And in the development of this literature, what's happened is that, like, I've gotten an opportunity to go in search of a sponsor who would use the literature with me. A sponsor who could give to me what I give to my sponsees, or at least try. Right? Because what I got to give to my sponsees is somebody who's loving and caring and somebody who's going to be just as uplifting as I possibly can be. Like, to remind them when they call me up and they're saying, you know what, DSS is messing with me about my kids. All I can say to them is, check it out. All you got to do is have faith. If God wants you to have those kids, no judge, no DSS, no nothing can take them from you. And that's the way that it works in my world. If I want something and I deserve it, God's going to give it to me. I have no doubt in my mind. So when I went in search of the sponsor who could give me that same kind of guidance, it took me a while. Okay? And I'm not going to stand up here and pretend like I've always had a perfect program because I haven't. And it's probably not perfect today either. But what I did was, like, I did the best that I could with what I had, with my character defects glaring and in my face on a regular basis. Because my character defects tell me all kinds of crazy ass shit about me. Like that I'm a brilliant moron. I'm a low-life piece of shit with a superiority complex. Because I was raised, you know, in my family, knowing that my heritage is Native American, but still knowing that those same people were racist, right? Knowing that I didn't fit in because every time we went out in public and they said the N-word, it made me want to vomit. Being raised by people who were so embedded in their own fear that all they could do was be hateful in their fear. I'm going to tell you something. If you're running up against somebody, right, and you're constantly bumping heads with them, I believe that we only have one character defect, fear. Everything else is the way we act out on it. That's what I call the shortcomings, right? I can be jealous. I can be vicious, right? Because like some people, like, forget. Oh, you know, she got 26 years. So if I come up in her against her in a service committee meeting and I call her out, what's she going to do? Well, I'll tell you what I might do, because I'm still a goddamn addict. I was when I got here. I will be when I leave. And I hope to leave in my casket. I don't want to ever leave this process. It's given me so much, right? My higher power, like, has put me in a place among people that, like, all my needs get met on a day-to-day basis. I don't have to work that damn hard. Right? Okay. Step 11. And y'all don't need to be quiet. If you get quiet, the lies start to come out. So, you know, as I start making shit up instead of letting God do the work. You know, it could be dangerous letting me do this instead of having God do it. Where the hell is this step anyway? Step 11, God's will. Here we go. I'm all right, thanks. Okay. First of all, and obviously, it is not God's will for us to relapse. We extend this simple fact to conclude that acting in ways that might lead us to relapse are also not God's will for us. That's pretty clear. I think that's simple as hell. Because what that tells me, and it goes further in the chapter to tell me, is that, you know, if I want to be in a relationship, a romantic relationship with somebody, for instance, and I'm changing myself to fit what they want, I'm being the chameleon again, that's obviously not God's will. That if I'm trying to change them to match what I want, again, instead of accepting them as they are, I'm not in God's will. It's simple, right? We all get complicated in this thing, and we keep on going, I don't know if God wants me to sleep with this man or not. Well, you know, here we go. It's real damn simple. First of all, you're trying to use them to fill the spiritual void that's God-shaped, that only God can fill. And I'm here to tell you, at 26 years clean, that there's not a God-shaped dick. It cannot fill that void. Okay? There's also not God-shaped pizza and God-shaped shopping sprees. Okay? There's nothing that can fill that void except for God. We have to have God in there, like, filling us up from the inside out. Right? We got this spiritual problem, right? We got this spiritual dilemma. And that spiritual dilemma we keep trying to fill with physical shit. Right? So here I am, like, trying to live in these spiritual principles. Right? Trying to live in these spiritual principles. And, like, all of a sudden I got, you know, Shay Lura recovery going on the inside, right? But here I am. You know that little quote in the Just for Today? No, it's in the basic text. It says, how insane is it to go and ask for a fatal heart attack? Right? So I've got this recovery thing going on the inside. I got some beautiful spiritual principles, man. Things are great in my life like that right now. So why am I driving through McDonald's asking for, oh, can I have a triple bypass and a couple of orders of blood clot, please? Right? Not taking care of the outside. Thinking that somehow or another that spiritual stuff that's on the inside is going to take care of everything. Now, don't get me wrong. It will definitely take care of some of my character defects. will definitely take care of my shortcomings. But if I'm not treating me right, if I'm not loving me right, here's what the disease does. Go ahead, look in the mirror. You're not 21 anymore. See that gray hair? It's sticking up. All wiry and shit, waving at you going, hey, bitch, you're not young anymore. You're not pretty enough anymore. You're not skinny enough anymore. Let's go out and get us a man. Just to prove that we can. You know, the brother that was hitting on you? Go ahead, get his phone number. Yeah, he's got a wife, but don't worry about that shit. Let's see if we can fill up this spiritual void with something else. Come on. How can I get you today? Can I make you understand, right, that you're still that low-life piece of scum that was out in the street? That low-life that was like sitting in the hotel room with the seedy little people, doing seedy little drugs, getting so damn high when you go into the bathroom you don't even bother to look to see if the fucking toilet seat's up or down, so you sit in and get your big butt stuck, right? And everybody's partying on the other side of the door. They don't even know you're stuck, even though you're yelling, hey, somebody come get me out. Taking younger people with me, going to bars that they aren't supposed to be in yet, right? And then, like, getting so drunk that I don't remember that they're there with me, and I drive off. And I have to see them the next day, and they've been raped. When disease says, that's your fault, that'll always be with you. Right? Having a child at 11 months old, my mother takes that child from me and disappears. She finds me again when she's 16 years old, and she's bought the family line. Because now I'm the black sheep of the family. Right? Meh. Okay. Now what? Now you see who I really am. What's your choice? And knowing damn good and well that that sick bitch that raised me raised her. And that right now she doesn't stand a chance unless she comes to understand through God. Because I can't tell her anything. She bought the family line, remember? I'm the badass. I tried to sell her at a rest stop, according to family legend, right? Because, like, I was homeless. So, well, I wasn't exactly homeless. I was living in a Plymouth with two roommates and a baby. Right? My disease says, you have to live with that. You did that. You allowed that crazy-ass woman to raise that child, to make her into the kind of victim that you were when you got here. You know, I don't talk a whole lot about my history because a lot of y'all I know are going to identify, but I also know that, like, let's just keep it at this. I felt lower than, less than. I felt dirty. I debased myself. I was angry. I was scared. I was so full of fear and so devoid of hope. But there was no way that I could have possibly continued to live the way that I was living. But for some reason, and I don't even pretend to know why, because if you tell me, I earned this seat, I'm going to tell you, no, you didn't. You earned what you got. And if you get what you're supposed to get, you wouldn't be here. And God gave me my seat in Narcotics Anonymous. And God, for some reason, stuck and stayed with me. Even though, like, the first 18 years of my recovery, I kept saying, that God shit's just for you simple-minded motherfuckers who don't believe in your own ability to think your way out of a problem. I did this. Yeah. Okay. Because, like, I didn't want to believe. I didn't want to believe that this was out of my hands. I wanted to believe that, like, I could still have some control. You know control's an illusion, right? You know the only way that you can control somebody is if they give it to you? Right? I mean, if the motherfucker's in jail right now, I'll decide, hey, we're out of here. Who's going to stop them? But they bought the party line, man. So they're in. They're going to stay. I shouldn't have said that. Maybe y'all hope nobody goes to jail and decides to arrange a prison break or some shit. They're going to say, yeah, that bitch Laura, nana, she told me we could do this. So I thought I had control. I thought I knew what I was doing. I would go to meetings sometimes. I would have a sponsor sometimes. I would work the steps sometimes. You know? I would show up sometimes. I'd do a little service work, and then y'all would piss me off, and I'd be like, I'm out. Right? And then this guy showed up in my home group. And he said, I could have sworn he was talking right to me. He said, be obedient. Make the sacrifice, and the gifts will come. And the truth of that was so huge and so apparent that there was no way that even my mind and my disease in combination could deny that that was the fact. If I show up and I make a sacrifice and I do the goddamn work, the gifts are innumerable. I can be here with 26 years clean in this group of huge, huge, huge group of beautiful, wonderful people and feel completely alone. But I don't. Why? My history tells me that I should. I don't because God says, you're never alone. Because I can take everybody and everything out of your life. And then he proved it to me. My kids went away with their dad for the weekend. I was in the house by myself. My car had a flat tire. My telephone wasn't working. My cell phone chose not to work. The cable went out. And with it went the internet access. I was left home, alone, all alone, with no resources to get somebody even there to help me get out. And God proved it to me in that moment that, check this out, you can be home alone, and guess what you're going to do? And the program finally kicked in. Went, oh, I got books. I got books. Right? I could do some work anyway. I could make this a positive thing. Oh, my God. And that's when I started to understand that, like, if you believe and you really believe that everything in this world happens for a reason and that God is in charge, then what could possibly be wrong with any given moment in your life except what's between your fucking ears? It's my thinking that gets me into trouble. When these things happen, and I put myself in that place where I'm just sitting there feeling sorry for myself, more shit happens. When that shit happens, and I get myself into the mindset of, you know what, this could be a good thing, good shit happens. Imagine that. It's just that damn simple. Ah, what can we do today? It sets me free, right? It sets me free. The 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, in conjunction with me working them with a sponsor, and if you work the steps in this guide without a sponsor, you're doing it wrong, okay? Let's not play around. Let's not mollycoddle. Let's not bullshit, okay? Because I'm not here to sell a dummy bag of recovery to a newcomer, okay? This is how we do it. You get this book, you work these steps, you do it with a sponsor. If you work these steps with a sponsor who doesn't work these steps out of this guide, you're fucked. If you do it with somebody from another recovery program, you're fucked. This is geared specifically toward addicts. It's not geared specifically toward people who have problems only with substance. It's geared toward people who have a problem with a disease that is internal. Now, I'm ready for the shit. It's okay. I've had people walk up to me before and say, I didn't get a thing out of what you said. And that's okay, too. My response to that is, my message isn't meant for everybody. It was just meant for one or two, and hopefully they got it. I'm not here to save the world. I'm just here to save us as much as I can, right? I bring the biggest boat I can, and away we go. Right? Narcotics Anonymous has been the biggest blessing I could have ever received in my life. I can't imagine growing up in the family that I grew up in with all of their problems, all their diseases, all their dysfunctions, and coming out anything like I am today. Now, I may not be entirely happy with myself, but I tell you what I am happy with. I'm happy with the fact that, like, I can take a walk through my apartment and go, yeah, maybe this is all 26 years got me, so what? But if I take a walk through my spirit, it's shining and sparkling. It's beautiful and untouchable. And if I could give it to even one or two of you here tonight, man, I swear to God, you would chase it as hard as you chased any fucking drug in your life. Because it's beautiful. And God gave me that. Because somewhere along the line, I started to hear the words that were in the book, and one of the words that I heard, or one of the phrases that I heard, was, how fucking free do you want to be? How free do I want to be? Do I want to be so free, right, to become what God wants me to be, not what I think I want me to be, which is that much of what God's got for me in this universe? Or do I want to be entirely free? It's gonna happen. I ain't there yet. God's not done with me. But it's gonna happen. And I have absolute faith in that process. When young people and newcomers come to me and they say, how do you do this? How do you keep on believing? It's because, look, if you can't believe, I will guarantee you, you do this. You do this the NA way. And what's going to happen with your life is going to be so fucking far out there, you're going to be thinking you're the queen and the king of the world. There's going to come a point in your life where, like, check this out. Not only if you put your efforts into making yourself a queen, Laura, you will find a king. And you won't have to keep dealing with the motherfucking jokers. Then if I keep my focus on myself and my own progress, stop allowing myself to be distracted from the process because, ooh, he pretty. Swear to God, sometimes I'm like, damn, I'm like ADHD or something. Ooh, shiny. And for those of you with ADHD, yeah, you can smack my hand later, whatever. And God puts me in the most unlikely fucking places, okay? I told you that I work for this auto body shop up in, I'm in Western Massachusetts. If I turn around real fast, I could accidentally, like, butt somebody over in New York State. That's how close we are to the border. And I went to work for this guy that I didn't know at the time was an active crackhead. And I go walking into work the Monday of the first week that I worked, and he came up to me and goes, I know this is a long shot, but do you happen to have change for $100? I was like, yeah. And he was like, where'd you get that? And it took me a second. I'm like, what is he so surprised about? You know, because by that point I had, you know, 21 years clean. I'm like, why would anybody be surprised that I have change for a $100 bill? And then all of a sudden I thought about what goes on in the back of the shop. And I went, oh, I don't drink. And he said, oh, this was it. You don't? What about drugs? Did you ever do drugs? What kind of drugs did you do? How'd you quit? How long have you been off them? What the? I was like, whoa, man. All that for change for 100? Yeah, I think you might want to let me keep that 100. Because counseling ain't cheap. I spent the next 5 years sitting there listening to him make his bullshit excuses, watching him fuck up his life, sitting there with his feet up on his desk. Crack fortunately came out after I got clean. Okay? I don't get it, but he couldn't wear his shoes. He had his feet up on his desk. And he's sitting there doing, now I do get this part. Yes. What the hell are you doing? I said, oh, I burned myself. So, yeah, how'd you do that? I was working on my sink. So you burn yourself working on your sink. Well, I had to solder something. I said, yeah, okay. And he said, I don't even know what I'm saying. I said, yeah, honey, I don't think you do. Right? And I watched him go downhill. I watched him deteriorate. I watched all this craziness going on in his life. Right? Good dude. Seriously, good dude. Right? Finally, he walks in one day after his best friend died as a result of drug use. And then another best friend died as a result of drug use. Right? He's almost losing the business. Things are getting really bad. Yeah, I know this is his story, but it's mine too, because I was there. Trust me. And he comes in one day after telling me for years and years and years, it's not a disease, it's a choice. And he walks in and he goes, I drove up to the lake house last night. I said, yeah. So before I went up there, I stopped at the other house and I had one beer. Because I figured I could have one beer and I'd be all right. And then I had another beer. Then I had another beer. And 6 beers later, man, I drove up to the lake house. I said, okay. He said, I quit. He said, show me. Help me. Teach me how to do this. For years you've been telling me every time I bullshit you, every time I fuck with you and say, Laura, I want your life, you tell me the same thing. You can't have my life because you don't want to work that fucking hard. Show me how to work that fucking hard. So I took him to a meeting. I gave him books. I copied shit. You know, I kept on working with him. And I kept on telling him, you know what, if you do what I do, you're going to be all right. No matter what. Just don't use. And we went to more meetings, and we went to more meetings, and then he started going by himself, and then he started, like, looking at this step work and going, wow, how do I do this? And I said, not alone. And he said, will you be my sponsor? And I said, no, honey, you don't have the right equipment. Plumbing's all wrong. I only sponsor girls. But I'll teach you, and I will show you the people that you can go to. And we went to meetings, and he went to my home group, and dude's got, like, 10 months clean. And he's not just clean. He's not just abstinent. He's fucking recovering. You know? He's on his sixth step. Sixth step. I don't want to hear excuses from people. I don't want to hear, I don't have time. How much time does it take to answer one question? Unless you're on the fourth or sixth. You know. It could be a minute. How much time does it take? Take 15 minutes a day. Take 30 minutes a day. How much time are you spending sitting there watching fucking reality TV? How much time are you spending hanging out in the mall? How much time are you spending exfoliating, primping, purchasing, grooming, and all that other shit for the perfect one? Who's probably not the perfect one, but you're so focused on them that when the perfect one walks in the room, you don't even fucking notice. Put some of that time into the step work. Does it sound like I'm preaching much? I didn't ask me to come here. You know, we put so much time and effort into this whole thing and we don't even understand what it is we want, what it is that we need, what it is that God has in mind for us. Listen, I came in here full of fear, waking up every fucking morning if I was outside of a jail cell, going, oh, what did I do last night and who do I need to apologize to today? How do I fix this shit? In terrible, gripping, gut-wrenching fear. Every single day. Every day. I wake up in the morning now and the first thing I think is, oh my God, I love you and thank you for giving me another day. So that I can make a decision to do what you want me to do, not what I want me to do. Because today, I can make a decision based on God's will and not my own. Do I do it every time? No. Do I do it perfectly? No. But you know what? I do it a whole lot better than I did it 20 years clean. Think about that. For the young people who are in here right now, I was 21 when I got in this process. 21. I'm an old bitch. Okay? I got to grow up here. I got to mature here. I got to become something way beyond my wildest dreams here. In the process of doing some of what I do, I had this car. I won't even give the make and model because it's horrible. It was an old used car. And when you got in it on a winter morning, you could start it. It would start right away. But then you had to put it in reverse and then into park and then into drive and then into reverse and then into park and then into drive and then into park and then into reverse and then into park. And every time you hit a gear, you try to like give it a little gas and probably wouldn't move because the transmission was all fucked up. You know, 20 minutes later, I'd be able to back out of my driveway because it was on a hill. I'd hit the brake pedal and I'd feel the transmission slip. And I'd be like, shit, in the middle of the road. Got to do something about this, right? So in the meantime, I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm doing it to the best of my ability. I'm showing up when people ask me to show up. I'm going everywhere. I'm going to Delaware. I'm going to Ocean City. I'm going to Philly. I'm going to New York. I'm going to Detroit. I'm going to Wisconsin. I'm going to Alabama. You ask me, man, I'm coming. If I can get there, I will get there. Because I believe and I have faith in the fact that if God wants me there, I'm going to be there. Okay? So in the meantime, we're renting cars. Right? Renting cars to go to these different places. Because I am not taking this thing with a slipping transmission to Hartford. We rent this car. We're having a great time. A couple of people are with me. My daughter, who I think at the time was maybe, I'm going to say she was maybe 12. Is with me, and we're driving up the highway on the way back, and she's sitting back in this beautiful car, and she's going, man, Mom, if we ever get a brand new car, this is the one. And I said, yeah, right, because I'm a single mom. Single moms, recognize yourself, come on, all right? I'm an equal opportunity addict. Single dads doing it by yourself. Recognize yourselves, all right? Because it's not easy. And the financial situation that goes along with that is almost impossible. I know that it is. Child support be damned. Okay? Because my kid's got an ATM daddy. You know, the court takes that out of his check, puts it into my account. She never sees him. His choice. But anyway, that's, I'm not going to digress there. At one point, I finally get to like this place where I'm like, you know, I can't keep messing with this car thing. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I have got to have another car. Got to. Absolutely must. This is, like, I'm not even playing anymore. This is just beyond ridiculous. I can't make this car go. It's just getting worse. So there's, you know, one of those dealerships up in my area. No matter what your credit is, I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, try this. I filled out the application. Put it on the fax machine. And they called me back a couple hours later and said, we have you pre-approved for up to $20,000. I said, did I write a number down wrong? you sure you know who you're talking to? And they said, come on up. Now this is, I'm going to do a little bit of, like, this is a dealership that sells specific types of vehicles only, okay? We'll say that. Specific brands. And, so I go up there, and I'm, like, checking the cars out. I get in the first one. I'm like, I hate this car. The woman who's selling me the woman who's trying to sell me a car doesn't even have the door shut yet. She's like a deer caught in the headlights. Like, oh, shit, she just told me she hates this car. She hasn't even, like, closed the door, right? So I was like, oh, I'll take it for a test drive anyway. Came back, hated the car. Puts me in the next one, right? Now, these are all 2003s, by the way. I test drive three cars. I'm like, I ain't happy with any of them. She says, well, come on in. Let's see what we've got on the list. So she starts going down the list, and she says, we've got this, and we've got this, and we've got this, and we've got this. And I was like, whoa, wait, you got that? The car we took to Bridgeport, and the one the kids said, if we ever get a brand new car, Mom, right? And she said, yeah. So we went out. I mean, man, chrome tip tailpipe. The whole top of the thing is glass. It's got a panoramic sunroof, 6-disc CD changer. And my shade of red, right? I'm like, oh, my God, this car is gorgeous. It's beautiful. I don't even need to take it for a test ride. I drove it all the way to Bridgeport and back. I love it already. She's like, well, do you wanna? And I was like, okay, fine. So I get in, and I take it for a test drive, and I came back, and I said, that's my car. And she said, okay. I didn't believe. Somehow or another, a 12-year-old had better faith and what my higher power could do for our family than what I did. And while I was sitting in that car, I promised God, you know what? No matter what, no matter how far you want me to drive, I will drive this car where you want me to go. And I will do my best to lead everybody that I touch once I get there to bring them to you. And they say the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. Right? Altoona, Johnstown, Hooversville, Pennsylvania. I mean, from Western Massachusetts, it took me 8 hours to drive here in that beautiful car. Because God and I made a deal. And I plan to hold up to my end of the deal. Because I'm not an addict sitting in jail, scratching and sniffing, crying and whining, making them foxhole prayers, being a teabag addict because my ass was in hot water once again, saying, please get me out. God knew that I am now a woman of principle and that I would follow through to the best of my ability to do what it is that he wants me to do, that I would show up when I was asked to show up. I heard somebody earlier say they're a little overcommitted in the service work area. Man, girl, oof. I am so overcommitted I can't even stand my own telephone. I want to throw it against the wall. But this is the gift that God gave me. I've got 6 women in my life who have entrusted me with the stewardship of their spirit. We call them sponsees. They call me sponse or mama. Right? And know what? Every one of them bitches is doing his work. Every one of them is opening up the book, picking up a pen, and putting it to paper. Every one of them. Nobody's saying, I can't. Nobody's saying, I don't have time. Because they're watching me, and they're seeing it. We lead by example. That's the only way we can. I show up, I do the work, I go to see my sponsor. She lives all the way in Delaware. Hell, if she can get within 3 hours of me, I'm there. I do the work, I sponsor the women. I sponsor the women. I don't know what y'all's opinion on this is, but I sponsor women, okay? Because I know I ain't that goddamn well yet. And if the right dude says, will you sponsor me? And I say yes, and Shawty comes out of my might be like, I'm going to have to hurt her. Because I'm real protective anyway. But we won't even go into all that shit, right? I just ain't that well yet. Let's leave it at that. And they go to meetings. They share. They share the message. They don't share the mess. They understand that if you have to share your problems, at the very least when you are finished sharing about that problem, you had best share, but at least I'm staying clean, if not something more. They know that if you can wait and get through that problem with me and God and your step work and everybody else in your support network, that's the time to share. That's the time you go into the meeting and tell them what the problem was and how you got through it. They understand that, like, I have a very strict standard for myself, And I would like them to have that very strict standard. And we show up, and we do. And we become better people. Because really, that's what it's all about. If I come to a stumbling block in my life and I manage to get to that place where I don't know what else to do because I'm looking at this big-ass block, I know that on the top is my sponsor and her sponsor, and they're both an NA, and her sponsor, and she's an NA, and her sponsor, and she is an NA, and that they're going to reach down and they're going to pull me up, and they're going to allow me the opportunity to do the same when mine come along behind me. I don't know if any of you understand the term misappropriation. You know, like when the basket goes around and you get the money because you're the treasurer of the group or some other trusted servant, and on your way home you use that money for gas because you're going to put it back. And whether you put it back or not really doesn't matter because it's still misappropriation because it wasn't yours to begin with. I feel that same way about God's grace and mercy. I don't misappropriate that shit. He gave it to me, man. I am going to pass it on. I'm going to get it to the right people. Send it through the right fund flow. Send it through the right channels. And I'm going to have faith. And my faith today carries me through everything and anything. I've been through life, death, divorce, marriage, and everything in between. One was just as horrible as the last. Yes, I mean the marriage, too. It wasn't that good, but it's okay. And from each relationship I've been through, I've learned another crucial lesson. Because I don't know about y'all, maybe you got some sort of misguided notion that like the relationships are here so that you can have a playmate, but that's not really what they're here for. You know, we're given relationships so that we can learn more about ourselves and learn another new way to live and get another tool, right? So God gave me this. And he gives me everything that I need on a daily basis to walk through my life with yet another tool in hand to fight this disease. I believe myself to be a queen. That's amazing. Because you know what I was doing? This is what I was doing. I got to tell you all this last thing and I'm going to shut the hell up. I was sitting in front of my mirror one day and counting the imperfections instead of the blessings. And it occurred to me, I wanted to be a queen. And what I was trying to be inside my own head was a goddess. I was trying to be perfect. Oh, queens are human too. They still have shit they got to work on. Imagine that. So I'm okay with being a queen and not being a goddess. Right? Now there's this guy down in Florida. His name's Chuck. And he's a really wonderful guy. He's got a lot of clean time. And he's coming up to speak at our convention in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, October 3rd, 4th, and 5th. It's our first ever convention. If you want information, I'll be glad to give it to you. But Chuck's coming up to speak on Sunday, and in his CD that we were listening to when we were making the decision about who to have for main speakers, he said this thing, and I was fortunate enough to be the person to contact him. And in the course of the conversation, I said, you know that thing that you do, I'm going to steal that, man. And he's okay. It's okay, Laura. Ain't nothing new. So what I want you all to do now is this one thing. I want you to sit here and close your eyes. And once your eyes are closed, imagine when you were laying on the floor, when you were on the bed, in the jail cell, curled up around that toilet. Maybe you were bleeding. You were definitely hurting, and you cried out, God, help me. Now open your eyes and look around you and see how God has answered that prayer. Thank you for letting me share.